to Carpenter Shop International Church. We build people. CSIC is a church whose mission is to love all people, win them to Christ, build them in discipleship, and send them out to fulfill their destiny. At CSIC, our core values are inclusion. We thrive on diversity. Everyone matters. It's exciting. Worship, discipleship, fellowship, evangelism, care. CSIC loves people, all people. Hashtag love win, build sin. Check us out on Facebook at Carpenter Shop International Church or on YouTube at CSIC Media. Or join us in person on Sundays at 10 a.m. or Wednesdays at 7 p.m.
Good morning, good morning. How many of us believe that God is our healer, that God is enough for us? If you believe that, can you stand and worship with us this morning?
Sing, you're more than enough for me. Cause Jesus, you're all I need. Sing it, more than enough for me.
More than enough for me.
Jesus, you're all I need.
Jesus, you're all I need.
Lord, you're more than
anything. He's able to do anything.
Yeah.
I think this year, it's a brand new year. It's the first Sunday of a new year. I just believe that if we go into the year in expectancy for God to do the impossible, that he can blow our minds, and not just because he has to, right? Not just because we've earned it or because we've deserved it, but just because we serve a God whose love is reckless. And here's the thing, with his love being reckless, that just means his love doesn't make sense. Why? Because if we think about all the things we've done, all the moments we didn't choose him on purpose, and he still chose us, and he still loved us, that is a reckless love of our King. So this morning, can we worship a Father whose love is reckless? Father, even though we may not fully understand it, even though it doesn't make any sense, we know we don't deserve it. But you're kind and you're sovereign and you're holy. And so we thank you this morning for your reckless love, Jesus.
Whoa, oh, oh, you
so, so kind to me. Sing it out, church.
And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, oh, it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. God couldn't earn it, God don't deserve it, still you give yourself away. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love. For us, Jesus. Whoa.
Yes, Lord.
When I was your foe, still your love fought for me. You have been so, so good to me, Lord. I felt no worth, you paid it all for me, God. Oh, you have been so, so kind to me. Sing, oh, 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 the overwhelming,
never-ending, reckless love of God.
Oh, it
chases me
right
down.
You're the one. He's gonna chase you every single time, not because you deserve it, but because he's the creator. And since he's the creator of all things, our only responsibility is to be loved by our creator. And what does that look like? That looks like surrendering our lives. That looks like lifting up our hands. That looks like I say, God, even though I don't understand, even though it doesn't make sense, I'm still gonna trust you. Your love is reckless. It already doesn't make sense. So even when my situation doesn't make sense, I trust that you still love me. I trust that you still care. I trust that you still see me. I trust that you're still before me. You're behind me. You're beside me. You're around me. You will keep me. You will keep me. He will keep you. Now unto him who is able to keep you, he will keep you. No shadow he won't light up for you. There's no wall he won't kick down just for you. There's no shadow, no darkness, no bodies that can hold our God. No guilt or no shame, no, that can hold our God. There's no sorrow, no brokenness that can hold your Savior. Nothing can hold our God. And I couldn't earn it, I don't deserve it. I couldn't earn it, and I don't deserve it. Still, you give yourself away, Lord. Only overwhelming, never ending. Your love. Father, we honor your overwhelming love. We recognize that it's here with us. We don't deserve it. We couldn't earn it, oh, no, God, but you give yourself away. And oh, I surrender all.
Yes, God.
I surrender all to thee, my blessed. Surrender all to him. I freely give, and I will ever love and trust in him. He's praying. Sing it out, church.
I surrender all to your will and to your way. We say, I surrender all
and all to thee.
All to thee, my blessed.
I'm sorry.
I'll say yes, Lord, yes,
yes.
To your will and to your way. I'll say trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree, and my answer will be yes. 'Cause I
Jesus, we surrender all to you. Come on, let's lift up praises to the Lord. God, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to give our worship to you, to honor you with our praise, and to lavish our love upon you. Father, there's nobody else like you. Right here in the quiet of this moment, would you close your eyes and lift your hands and just focus on heaven for just a minute and block out everything else that would try to distract you, and just surrender in your heart, right where you are, that thing that you've been holding on to this week, whatever that nagging thought has been that has been trying to distract you from heaven. Just let the Lord take it right now. Lay it down at the foot of the cross as we sing that song one more time. I surrender all. Just surrender everything to Jesus. I surrender all. Service, would you speak to our hearts, Lord? God, would you move in might and in power? Would you stir our hearts with a passion for your name? God, we're hungry for you today. We ask that you would fill us afresh, that your fire would fall in this room. God, we believe for miracles today. God, we believe for changed hearts today. God, we believe for healing today, because you are the miracle worker and you are the healer. And we say yes to you, God. We surrender everything to you. Would you give one more big hand of praise? Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. You can be seated in God's house. Hallelujah. This is the first Sunday of 2024. We believe God has great things ahead for this year, and we are so glad to be worshiping and gathered together on this Sunday morning. If this is your first time with us, I want to welcome you to Carpenter Shop International Church. Thank you for joining us. If you're tuning in online, we're thankful that you're worshiping with us today. We have a few things going on around the church. One of them is a new Bible study series called The Pathway to Maturity on Wednesday nights with Pastor Frank Adams. And we want to invite you to come out on Wednesday to get in the Word, to be studying your Bible, and really be growing in discipleship. And this course that we're starting is going to help you with that. So Pathway to Maturity, Wednesday night at 7 in the Family Life Center. Giving statements will be going out soon for 2023. And last week, we introduced a new model of giving called Kingdom Builders. And if you were here last week, you received a pledge card, and you've been praying about what number God will lay on your heart to give above your tithe for this year. And if you're ready to return that today, you can drop that in an offering bucket. And if you have not received a pledge card, you can just raise your hand and somebody will bring one to you. If that's you, just wave at me right now and a volunteer will bring a pledge card to you with more information about Kingdom Builders. And I'll just take a minute to say a little bit more about why we use the term Kingdom Builders. When we say kingdom, we're referring to something that's bigger than just CSIC. The kingdom of God includes other ministries and missions to other people outside of just our local church. And we want to partner with other ministries to advance God's kingdom. So when we use the word kingdom, we're really saying unity and partnership. Somebody say unity. Say partnership. And we want to be a partner with the global body of Christ to advance God's kingdom all around the world. And what about the word builders? When you give beyond your tithe, you are helping us to do special projects that accelerate the building of God's kingdom. And those projects might include things like rescuing families from slavery in Pakistan. It might include sending our youth to fine arts in Ohio, or it might include renovating the sanctuary that we gather in every week. And those things allow us to expand our capacity for ministry and to build outward, to extend our reach to people beyond the four walls of the church. And so that's why we use the term Kingdom Builders. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful to be part of a generous church that makes a difference right here in our community and all around the world. And however you choose to give, whether you call it tithes and offerings or you call it Kingdom Builders, God honors that. The Bible says that He blesses us when we give. And if you're already giving beyond your tithe and God is speaking to you about what number that is, just be obedient to the Lord. And if you want to call that tithes and offerings, if that's easier for you, you can do that. That's fine. And we're going to use it to advance God's kingdom. And if you have a preference and you want to know that a portion of your giving is going towards special projects in and outside of CSIC, you can call it Kingdom Builders. And we will use it to advance God's kingdom. So however you choose to give, that's between you and the Lord. Just be obedient. Just give. Be obedient to God with your finances. And the whole purpose of this new model of giving that we're presenting is to make giving easier so that we can focus even more on the action of doing ministry. Are you with me? So if you're giving online or in the app, you'll notice the Kingdom Builders is now an option. You will still see some of the other funds in there as we slowly phase that out over the course of the year. If you're tuning in online, just click the link in the comment section or in the description box. If you're here, you can scan the QR code that's behind me. If you're giving by cash or check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. And Actually, just before we invite you forward, we do have a video that we want to show you about Impact Revival that is coming up later this month. You don't want to miss it. Let's go ahead and roll that now.
Hey, PW here, Carpenter Shop International Church, Ahoskey, North Carolina. We're having a revival coming up on the 26th through the 29th of January, 2024. We call that revival Impact Revival 24. My question for you is, what do you think of when you think of the word impact?
Healing. Healing over my mind and my heart from the broken pieces that I've tried to gather myself over the past few years.
Soul saved. I would love more than anything to see that happen here at Carpenter Shop.
Soul saved and just God, just seeing God move in this atmosphere.
Yep. I think we live in this world that's so full of distractions and so full of other things and outside sources trying to tell us who we are, trying to tell us what love is and what love should look like. But I think hearing it from the literal definition of love, hearing it from the Father, hearing it from God in flesh to know that He really loves you, I think will change the world. And so that would be the biggest thing I'd want, is just for Him to remind us and to affirm us and the love that He has for us, because he does. He loves us. And not because we earn it, just because He does.
And we begin to hunger for God in a way that nothing else can satisfy us. That we are willing to put aside other things in our schedule, in our lives, and we're willing to set aside time to really come into alignment with what God wants to do. And if we can do that, if we can allow the Holy Spirit to direct us in a way that actually changes us, we can see the impact of that hunger in our lives begin to change the community around us.
I would love to see young souls impacted. I remember me being 16 and below, and I didn't genuinely chase after God. It was just kind of for show. But me connecting with God and having an actual relationship with Him, I would love to see that spread around our community.
Don't miss this revival, y'all. Impact 2024, Carpenter Shop International Church.
Impact Revival. Don't miss it. Go ahead, put it on your calendar now. We believe God is going to move in mighty and powerful ways that lives are going to be changed. So make sure you come out for that. And you can make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
All my life you have been faithful.
In all my life, you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see of the goodness of God. Oh,
you have been faithful.
Come on, let's lift up a shout to the King. Hallelujah, God, we thank you for your goodness. We give you praise, Lord Jesus. Oh, would you just let loose right now and give God your praise? Would you begin to just tell him how good he is? God, we thank you. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Wow. Praise God. Praise God. I love it when the Spirit moves. You never know what God is going to do. I just feel God moving right now all over this room. And I believe special things are ahead. Pastor Wallace is away today. He's visiting his family, his grandchildren in Seattle. Pastor Wallace, we know you're watching. We want to tell you that we love you and we miss you. And we hope that you're enjoying your time away. And we also have the honor and the privilege of Billy Collins. Pastor Billy, come on up. We want to invite you forward. Would you give this brother a hand? We believe that he's got a powerful word to share with us today. Billy pastored for a while in the Hampton Roads area, and he's been a faithful member of Carpenter Shop for some time now, and we are excited to hear what God has laid on your heart.
Amen. Amen. Let's give God a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The psalmist said, I was glad when they said, let us go unto the house of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Let's give God another hand clap of praise for the praise and worship team. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brothers. Thank you, brothers. On this first Sunday in 2024, what a blessing to be here. 2024. Not everybody made it. Not everybody made it through 2023. But God saw fit for us to see another new year. Let's give God a hand clap of praise one more time. Amen. And then, matter of fact, let's just give God a wave offering. Just wait, Lord, we thank you today, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, it's your goodness, Lord, that comes running after us, Lord. We thank you today. Oh, Lord, I ask you to clear our minds, God. You're so good. Clarify our minds that we may receive your word. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Again, it is good to be in the house of the Lord and giving honor to our pastor, Pastor Wallace and Pastor Joy and all the ministers, pastors, officers, saints, friends, everyone that's here today in the house of the Lord. It is both a privilege and honor to be here today. Amen. And I also, you know, I'd be remiss if I didn't recognize someone very special. Amen. My queen. My Proverbs 31 woman. My beautiful, the most beautiful woman in the world. You know, there used to be an old song out, Pastor Bernie said, "Ain't no woman like the one I got." But my beautiful wife, Stacy's here today. Amen. We have been married 26 years. Amen. 26. Amen. Amen. And God is good. Amen. Hallelujah. He is good. God's blessed us. He's blessed us to have three daughters. So I have a house full of women. Amen. I'm a blessed man. But our oldest, Krista, she's a student at Liberty University in Lynchburg, Virginia. So she's gone back to school. But today, our other two daughters, Tabitha and Lydia, they're here today. They are both students at Oral Roberts University in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Amen. And so they're here before they're leaving for this week to go on back to school. Amen. And it's me and Mama. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But we are so proud of our daughters. We love you all so much. So proud of them. And God is doing great things in their life as well. And it is good to be here. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 1. The very first Psalm, Psalm chapter 1. And when you get there, whether you turn in your Bible or if you have your electronic device, signify by saying amen. I'm one of those preachers that likes you to talk back to them. So your amens are appreciated. Amen. Or if the word gets good to you, say preach it. Amen. Psalm chapter 1. I was praying to God, what do we need to hear the first Sunday of the new year? And he said the first psalm. It reads, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let's zero in on verse 3. It says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." I'm going to be speaking to you all this morning from the title, Positioned and Planted. Positioned and Planted. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We know it's quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, I ask you, just move by your spirit today, Lord. Touch each heart. Each one of us has come in here with different things going on in our lives. Each one of us has come here at different situations, but we've all come together to hear from you. And I ask you, God, to remove me out of the way. Let your Holy Spirit speak through me now to your people, and let all of us leave here differently than the way we came in. And all God's children said, amen. Amen. Positioned and planted. This text was taken from the book of Psalms. Now, the book of Psalms, there's 150 Psalms in the Bible. And the book of Psalms, for all throughout the church age, has been a blessing. Certain Psalms, Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He maketh me lie down in the green pastures. Many psalms, many things that we hear, we see throughout this book of Psalms. Psalm 27, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Oh, all throughout Psalm 37, where it says, fret not yourself because of evildoers. When things get crazy around you and folks are doing you wrong, God says, don't worry about it. His word says, fret not because of evildoers. Psalm 37, verse 1. He said, they'll soon be cut down. Don't worry about it. The Psalms has so much personal meaning. There's 150 of them. The longest chapter in the Bible is in the Psalms, Psalm 119. That's the longest chapter in the Bible. And David was the author of many of these Psalms. And the Psalms, they keep it real. They keep it real, Brother Corey. The Psalms, there's one Psalm, Psalm 77. The psalmist says, I'm so troubled, I cannot even speak. Have you ever been there? There's other Psalms where the psalmist was like, I don't understand, God, why good things seem bad things happen to good people and good things seem to happen to bad people. I don't understand this. But then we see in Psalm 73 and Psalm 71, he said, until I went to the house of the Lord, then I understood their end. You see, when we come into God's house, when we read his word, it puts things in clarity. It puts things in their proper perspective. Amen. And in the book of Psalms, for the New Testament believers, all we read about, we're encouraged to read Psalms. All right? Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 says, be not drunk with wine. Leave that stuff in that ABC store in Hereford. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. See, singing, when that word of God, it penetrates. Psalms penetrate. Not only that, Colossians chapter 3, verse 16 says that we are to admonish, encourage one another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. James chapter 4 encourages, or chapter 5 rather, the same thing. Psalms, a source of encouragement, this book of Psalms. And we see in this book of Psalms today, the very first verse, Psalm 1, verse 1, it says blessed. It says blessed. If you read, look up that word blessed in the Hebrew, it means happy. How many want to be happy? There's people searching for happiness. There's some folks choose to pursue after wealth. If I get this extra money, if I get an extra couple thousand or 100,000, man, I'd be happy. But you find out there are people that commit suicide that are billionaires. There's certain things, and they pursue money. Sometimes people will pursue relationships, and they fall short. People are pursuing things, and there's a lot of confusion nowadays. Folks are going to great measures when it comes to pursue happiness. But I want you to know that happiness you're pursuing is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus Christ alone. Now, you may say, well, preacher, you don't know what I've gone through. And you're right, I do not know. But God does. I don't know pain, some of the pain that you may have experienced. But Jesus does. God's word tells us that he was tempted, tried in all points like we are, but did not sin. Hebrews 4:15. I may not know, but Jesus does. That's like the old saints used to sing a song, Brother Hersey say, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. He's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. He is that friend that will never let you down. Can I get a witness this morning? And in my experience, my life, I was grew up, went to a church, and it was more of a religious activity. You know, everybody would kind of go in, go out. I never heard people giving testimonies about how God is real. It just was just kind of a very traditional, and one of which you just kind of came in, came out. So I thought, okay, if that's all Christianity is, well then, okay, that's just what it is. So then I just did my own thing. I was big into athletics and sports. And then also, you know, partying, drinking, doing drugs, all sorts of stuff. Looking for that high. Looking for it in sports. Looking for it in drugs and in alcohol and different things. And then I began to search for it in other religions. I studied Buddhism with a heart saying, man, maybe there's something to this. There's got to be more to life than what I'm seeing. I studied it, but Buddha didn't do it. I studied Hinduism, Taoism. I studied it. I studied it and even did some of the meditation steps and different things. But it just didn't fill this void that was in my life. I even looked at Islam. I said, man, those guys are sharp, man. Them guys seem to be disciplined, and they pray and they fast during the month of Ramadan and pray five times. And I was like, man, that's some discipline. Them guys, you know. And I studied these different religions, but there was still an emptiness. But then when I came across through different situations, I came across and finally met this man from Galilee. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't just a bunch of religion. Brother, I'm going to tell you, it was Jesus Christ. And when Jesus touched me, he made me whole. When Jesus touched me, he filled that empty space. And I've never been the same. And I tell you what, Pastor Mike, when I got saved, I had folks making bets. They said, oh, Billy got saved? We'll see how long this lasts. Some said, well, I give them a month. Some of them said, I give them about 3 months. Somebody said, I've seen people do this before. Ah, Billy, maybe he seems kind of serious. I give him a year. Well, I want you to know all bets are off. Glory be to God. God is a keeping God. Can I get a witness today? He is a keeping God. But it's all about positioning. Everyone say position. Position. When we look in our text, it says, blessed is the man. The man, his position, all right, the definition for position is to put or arrange someone or something in a particular place or way, all right? To put or arrange someone or something in a particular way. We see the man that's blessed. If you want to be blessed, if you want to be happy in 2024, how many of y'all are ready for a new year, amen? How many of y'all are tired of the same old, same old? Amen. Well, this is going to tell you, it's right here in our hand. We got it in our hand. It's almost like the Wizard of Oz or the Wiz, whichever one you watched, or if you watched both of them. At the end, it's like, Dorothy, you had it all along. You got it in your hand. You don't have to keep searching. You don't have to keep running. It's already here. Amen. Blessed is the man or woman that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Your Bible tells you that right here. Or stands in the way of the sinner, or seats in the seat of the scornful. You see, it's a progression. It's a progression. Blessed is the man that walks. You know, that walks not. That's not walking. You have to be careful who you hang with. Amen. God's word even tells us that bad communication corrupts good character. And we see the downward progression in this psalm where he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner. Then he stops walking, he's standing. It's almost like a downward progression. All right, he's walking, all right. And then we see that he's walking, and then he stands. Then he goes from standing to sitting in the seat of the scornful. We see this downward progression that occurs. And that's what the devil does. God's word tells us in John chapter 10, verse 10, that the devil is out to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So the devil wants to sit you down this year. He wants to keep you down this year. But I want you to know, you got to get on up, amen? You cannot stay where you are and expect to see the blessings of God, to expect to see change in your life. Am I right about it today? I mean, you've got to press. There's some folks that you may need to distance yourself from this year. Oh, y'all not hearing me this day. Oh, I'm meddling now. Amen. He's meddling now, getting in my business now. Look, I want you to be blessed. I want you to be blessed. So it says, as we look here, and bear with me for a moment. In Psalm 1, look, it says, he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands not in the way of the sinners, or sits in the seat of the scornful. It says, but, everybody say, but. See, God butts right in. God butts right in. He will butt right into your circumstances. He will butt right into your situation. He will, you may feel like I'm done, I'm through, but God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 6:23 tells us that. God, see, God can butt right in your circumstances. The devil said, I'm going to destroy him or her this year. This is going to be it. But God says, nah, they're going to Carpenter Shop Church this Sunday. Amen. Like they said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go unto Carpenter Shop International Church. Oh, you see, and that's some, and with some of us, that may be what you have to do, because when I got saved, a big thing was going to church every Sunday. See, I wasn't those folks that went to the nightclub Saturday night. Oh, y'all quiet on me now. And then went in trying to look sanctified on Sunday morning. All right. If I was out there, I was out there. Now, I commend you. Hey, if you, I don't care. If you were at a club last night, if you were at the bar last night, and you came in the carpenter shop, God bless you. You're seeking, because the devil wants you to stay at home. You're seeking. I'm not judging you. I'm saying, but with me, going to church every Sunday was huge. I'm like, all right, I got saved. I received Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I do want to explain something too. There's a difference between believing in your head and believing in your heart, okay? There's a difference between intellectual belief and heart belief. There is a difference between believing and accepting. I can be sick and believe if I take a pill that it will make me better. But it's not until I take it in that it does something for me, amen? That's just like Jesus. You may say, well, hey, I believe he died on the cross. I believe he lived. But yes, but have you received him in your heart? Have you taken Jesus in? And I'm going to tell you, if you do, a change occurs in your life. Can I get a witness this morning? A change occurs in your life. You're no longer the same person that you used to. Why? Because you've gotten in position. Everyone say position. Oh, you've gotten position because you've taken in. And the influences around you, things that you take in, affect the way you act. All right? And you see, you if you want to get yourself in position, sometimes you have to do radical things sometimes. Now, to me, when I first got saved, that was a radical thing to come to church every Sunday morning. That was radical. But I did. That was a step. But if I wanted to see God move, I had to go up another step. You see, some of us have been at the same step too long. And I begin to see that it's just not enough. Yeah, I'm going to church every Sunday, and I've been touched by God. But I wanted to position myself. All right, position myself. I said, okay, I got to do a little bit more than that. I was a college student at the time. I desired to have a wife. And I said, Lord, I pray you bless me with a wife. All right, all kind of women, but there's only one that you got for me. All right. Amen. I said, Lord, I prayed for that. Now, I didn't say, okay, I'm praying for that. Okay, God, look, well, okay, what are you going to do, God? I'm praying for it. God said, step up another place. Step on up another step. Go up a step. So what I started to do was not only go to church on Sunday mornings, I went to a Bible study Friday night. It was a Bible study on the college campus that the students would have and that were also Christians, and every Friday night. So I said, all right, well, I'm going to start going to church every single Sunday, all right? And then I started going on Wednesday night, too. All right, why? Because I wanted to see the hand of God move. And God's word tells us in James chapter 4, verse 8, if you draw nigh to God, he will draw nigh to you. And God told me, Billy, the way you're doing things, I can't do certain things because you'll mess them all up. You got to go up higher. So I started going to different services, and on that Bible study Friday night, one night, a young lady walked in there, and the glory of God shone down from heaven. Like I say, the Shekinah glory came down. And that's where I met my wife, Stacy, 26 years later, hallelujah, at that Bible study. Glory to God. Why? Because I was in position, everyone say position, to receive what God had for me. Now, if I went on out to the club that night, went out to the bar that night, went out to party that night, went out to, hey, I'm 21 years or 22 years old at the time, hey, you know, what am I supposed to do? According to what the world says, no, I did something. I said, I'm going to position myself and not necessarily totally to find a wife. It was to find Jesus and get closer to him. To get closer to him. God's word says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And look at what this person does right here. Okay, verse 1. He walks his position. He walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of scornful. But, everybody say, but. Look at verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. That's this book right here. His delight is in the law of the Lord. That's the Bible. And I'm going to tell you what I have found as a Christian. The pastor had told me this when I'd first given my life to Christ. He said, Billy, you've got to spend time in this. You've got to get in this word every day. He said, you have to fight to get in this word. Because I did not know any scriptures. I did not know any scriptures. I didn't know the book of Job from Job. I didn't know and no scriptures whatsoever. And then I'd be in the Bible study. Nowadays, with the electronic versions of the Bible, you can cheat a little bit. People don't see if you don't know where a book is. But some of you all know back in the day when everybody had this kind of Bible, if you didn't know, they said, okay, go to the book of Matthew, and you flipping around the front of the Bible, the back. And I was too full of pride to bust open the table of contents. And then I would really, it really get to me, Brother Billy, when some super saint would say, oh, let me show you. And they would flip to their page. But God was testing my flesh. He was testing me. I was like, you know. But the more I spend time in the Word of God, I saw things change. The more I spend time, the more I got more familiar with it. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babies, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. As a newborn baby, we're to do that. Desire this Word. And I know with my babies, they did not drink milk just Sunday morning. Quiet. My wife said amen. Thank you, sweetheart. They didn't get milk just Sunday morning. They needed it every day, all the time. And that's how we need to be with the Word of God. You know that we base the eternal state of our souls on the promises in this book. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 says, we believe that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We believe that he was buried according to the Scriptures. And we believe that he rose again according to the Scriptures. So we need to spend time reading the Word of God, getting this Word of God into our hearts. 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us to study, to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed, but rightly divides the word of truth. We need to have so much scripture in us. If I squeeze you, a scripture should come out your mouth. We need to get this old Bible in us to where when I used to drink, I'd start sweating it out of me. Oh, y'all looking at me all sanctified. Oh, let me go back on this corner of the room. All right. But that's what we need to do. And with me, also, too, you got to look at it like this. And don't let the devil tell you, well, I can't memorize scripture. That's a lie. That is the devil. I can say that as proof. Do you know any songs? I could play a song. You may not have heard that song for 10, 5, 10, 15 years, and you can just pick right up and sing it. Uh-huh. Or if there's certain TV shows or programs, if I started singing one of those jingles, you would turn right on in. Why? Because you spend time doing it. And I want you to be blessed. You see, with some of us, and myself included, God's calling us. But if I want to get in position to go up another level, everyone say, level up. Look at your neighbor, say, level up. Level up. Level up. We're going to level up this year. If we're really serious about it, then we're going to, man, I need to spend more time in the Word of God. There's 168 hours in a week. So you come to Carpenter Shop, we come to church about 2 hours on Sunday. That's 166 hours. Where are you spending that? How much time are you spending on the screen as opposed to the scripture? Oh, y'all quiet on me now. All right. And I'm saying this to encourage. Everyone say encourage. Right. I'm saying this to encourage us, all of us as saints of God, man, to spend time. And now you may say, how? This is what I did. This is what worked for me. I had first gotten saved. I did not know any scriptures whatsoever. I said, man, Jesus had touched my heart. I want to just know what Jesus said, what he did. So I just started reading the Gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Someone gave me an NIV Bible, which that one did not have the these and thous of the King James. I could understand it a little bit better. So you have to be careful with certain translations. But that's another. but you know, you have to be careful. But I read that Bible, and I read everything Jesus said, what Jesus did. And then someone told me, read a proverb a day. Corresponding, today's the 7th. So this morning I read Proverbs 7 today. Tomorrow I'll read Proverb 8. It's just practical knowledge. And if you read 4 chapters or 3.25 chapters a day, you'll read through the entire Bible in a year. You may say, oh man, that's, I don't know, man, this thick old book. Listen, you just take it one piece at a time. If you read the next between now and the end of January, if you read the next, the book of Mark, that's 16 chapters. Read one chapter a day. Get it in there. And then go is whatever. There's different Bible studies, but you got to make sure. Satan hates it. I'm going to tell you, the last thing the devil wants you to do is read this Bible. I'm going to tell you. Why? Because when Satan came to Jesus in Luke chapter 4 and Matthew chapter 4, Jesus came back. It is written. It is written. You know, Satan came to Jesus. He said, if you're the Son of God, turn this stone into bread. Jesus said, it is written that men shall not live by bread alone, but by everything that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. But it says right here in our text, it says, look what it says. It says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate. I have a screenshot on meditate day and night. That meditation is not doing getting in a certain position and humming and lighting candles and incense. Amen. Just to clarify. That meditating is to talk, to ponder, getting that word of God into our mind, into our heart, into our spirit. And on the next slide that I have with Joshua was in a situation where things were really changing. And on the screen, look, we have the definition of meditate, to ponder, mutter, talk, study. Have our mind on what the Word of God says, what God says. What does the Bible say about it? And I'm going to tell you, whatever the day is, whatever's going on in life, it's in this Word. The Bible talks about it. Every single thing you'll go through in life, it talks about it in this Bible. And it gives you direction. Everyone say direction. And that's what Joshua was. Joshua was in a position where this was a new season for him. He had to lead all these people behind Moses. What did God tell Joshua to do? Of all the things, Joshua had to lead over 1 million people that, I mean, had raised up and were rebellious at times, and there was new enemies they had to fight. Just like they say, a new level is a new devil. So he was going to have to fight new enemies, all these things. But what did God tell Joshua? Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law, that's the Bible. Everybody say Bible. The B-I-B-L-E, that's the book for me. Amen. This book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy ways prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. You talk about the recipe for success. You talk about the recipe for prospering in life. It's in this book right here. And he says, Psalm, I'll meditate in thy precepts and respect unto thy ways. I'm going to meditate. Precepts is the word of God. God's word says in Psalm 119, verse 9, how does a young man keep his way pure? By taking heed according to the word. It says, oh, with my whole heart have I sought thee. let me not wander from thy commandments. He said in Psalm 119, verse 11, he says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. Like they say, sin will keep you from the word of God. Amen. But the word of God will keep you from sin. Amen. Sin will keep you from the word of God, but the word of God will keep you from sin. I remember one time I was in jail, and I was doing jail ministry. Let me clarify. I know everybody perked up. Oh, what you? Everybody perked up, Brother Rico. No, wonder what he got locked up for. Say grace, God's grace. Amen. I've never been locked up. God's grace. But I was doing jail ministry, and me and another brother was, and God blessed us because we actually could go inside the pod. Me and this other brother, and the guard said, "Look, if y'all want to go that way, we're like, man, we want to get in there." So we got in the pod. They shut the door. Guard gone. We're in the pod. Guys playing cards at one table. We said, "All right, Bible study's going on here." And then I told the guys, I said, "Look, I've never been locked up." I said, "By God's grace, I've never been locked up. So I don't know what it's like to be incarcerated. But one thing I do know, not everybody in jail is guilty. Not everybody in jail is guilty. And not everybody walking the streets innocent." All right, not everybody that's locked up is guilty, and not everybody that's walking the streets is innocent. But all of us, whether you're locked up or locked out, we're all going to die one day. God's word, his word, everybody say word. It says it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. But I said, I'll tell you what, God can move right through these steel walls. He can move right through these steel bars and move and change things in your life. And I've had guys tell me, man, going to jail was the best thing ever happened to them. Being locked up was the best thing. But one, and you see, I will go there to minister, but then I will get ministered to. I will get ministered to. I know one guy, he looked kind of like Willie Nelson, the old country singer. He was an older guy. He said, "Preacher, I hear you talking about this Bible a lot." He said, "I'm saved, but I'm going to tell you what." He said, "I'm going to probably spend the rest of my life locked up." He said, "But if I had my nose in this book, I wouldn't be here today." Thank God for your freedom, amen? Thank God for grace. But he said, "God's doing a work while I'm here even, amen?" And you see, that's the whole thing with this word of God. He says, meditate the word of God, spending time in there. All right. He said, then I'll make your ways prosperous. You want to have prosperity? You want to succeed or see God move? It is related to reading this book. Amen? I have a slide on prosper to succeed in an enterprise or activity to become strong and flourishing. If you want to flourish in your life, and yeah, you can flourish financially. Amen? It's okay. Abraham was a rich man. But when you're doing it God's way, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. It's what God's word says. But it's not about that. It's about prospering and getting close to him, and then he can entrust you with all sorts of things. It is the word of God. He says to prosper. He says to prosper. But then also, too, as we look into this, to meditate on this word day and night, and then to be planted. Next point, to be planted. Positioned and planted. Planted, placed or fixed in a specific position. If you look at this screen, look at this tree. That's in the middle of the desert. But that tree is flourishing. There's not one dead leaf on those two trees. Why? Because it's where they're planted. We need to plant ourselves in the Word of God in 2024. Not only do we need to plant ourselves in the Word of God, we need to, if we want to position ourselves to win. And when I say win, that means breakthrough in your life. Some of you all, there's been things you've been battling with all your life, but you want to see God move, position yourself. Position yourself to get closer to him, but then be planted in this word of God. And then everything around you. And just like the other day, it was cold. You know, I'm a truck driver for a living, drive a tractor trailer. And I mean, it was freezing early. I think it was Thursday morning or one of those mornings. But it was hot on the inside of my truck. I had that heat cranked up, man. I had a t-shirt on, Brother Corey. It was hot inside, even though it was cold outside. See, God and his being and walking with the Lord does not mean that he's going to take you out of all troubles or out of hard times. You're not going to be isolated, but you will be insulated for when those times come. Can I get a witness today? You won't be isolated, but you will be insulated. And when you're standing on this word of God, when you're planted in this word, then you will position, you will get yourself in alignment. Just like the Bible says in Luke chapter 8, the woman with the issue of blood. For 12 years, she suffered. And rather than getting better, she got worse. Your situation may have gone from bad to worse. But I want you to know, this lady said, I heard about Jesus. She said, I heard a man named Jesus was coming on through. Now, she didn't say, well, if God loves me and God's all that, he'll heal me. I'm just going to sit right here. He's going to come to me. You know, God, he's going to do, if he wanted to heal me, he's going to heal me. She said, no, I'm going to Jesus. I'm getting up. I'm going to Jesus. But then there was a crowd. And the Bible says that that crowd, she couldn't get to Jesus. She could have said, well, God must not want me to be healed. He's got a crowd here. If he really wanted, I could walk right up to him. No, she said, I'm going to press. I'm going to see him. See, we have to get aggressive about our faith. We have to get radical about our faith. We've got to get to where, look, if she said, if he doesn't come to me, by golly, I'm coming to him. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Glory to God. And the Bible says that she touched his garment and healing came into her body immediately. She was made whole. Can I get a witness today? Immediately, Jesus said, who touched me? They said, folks have been touching you all day, Jesus. He said, no, someone touched me with faith. He turned, looked at her. He said, woman, thy faith, everyone say faith, has made you whole. That faith made her whole. She did not let it stop her. Blind Bartimaeus in Mark chapter 10, he couldn't see Jesus, but he used what he had. God's not so much concerned by what you don't have. He wants you to use what you got. Bartimaeus could not see Jesus, but he heard he was coming. And the Bible says that he started to cry out. He said, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. And they had folks telling him to quiet on down. You'll always have folks trying to tell you to quiet down. You'll always have folks trying to set you on down when you start seeking Jesus. But you've got to be radical in your faith to position yourself. He said, Jesus, Son of David. It said he cried out louder. And he threw off his cloak. And in those days, a cloak was a type of shelter even. He said, I'm going all in. That's what Jesus wants, us to go all in 2024. He said, Son, have mercy on me. And then all of a sudden, he got his sight healed. Whatever your situation is, those were physical healings. There could be some emotional healing that you may need today. You may need some inner healing today. But I want you to know today, everyone say today. Today, you can be touched by the Master. And it goes on into our text. It talks about, for God knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That word perish means to destroy. I wasn't always saved. As I said in this message earlier, I was perishing. I remember when I was a student at Chuan University. I was a student there, and classes got out early. So me and my buddy, we said, hey, let's go on up to the store and get some alcohol. Let's go ahead and have a few drinks or whatnot. So I wasn't saved. All right, so we went to the store, got some wine. Not the kind with the cork, the kind with the twist off. Yeah, I'm talking the Wild Irish Rose. Mad Dog 2020. Night Train. Oh, some of y'all are a little too familiar with that. So we got some bottles of cheap wine. I would drink that stuff. It would just be coming out of my pores. I would pop mints in my mouth. Oh, what? I got a mint in my mouth. You can't smell it. It's like, boy, that stuff's coming out your pores. That's why the Bible says, be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And once I drank that new wine of the Holy Ghost, I didn't want to go back to that bottle stuff again. There's no high like the Most High. Can I get a witness today? There is no high like the Most High. And I tell you, I didn't want to go back to that bottle stuff then, but at that time I was unsaved. And my friend and I, we went up to the store, walked to the store, and we got some wine, went back to the dorm room, was drinking that wine, ran out. It was nighttime by then. We said, hey, let's go on back and get some more. So we went back to the store, and it was nighttime, and this car was pulled up there, and these two girls were in the car. So I'd gotten another bottle of wine, and so we started talking to them. They said, yeah, we're going to a party, you know. Y'all want to come? We're like, all right, yeah, sure. I did not know them. I tell everybody this. I tell the young people and the old folks, be careful who you step in a car, because old folks cut up too, amen? They had that drug bust in Winton years back, and they showed the pictures. I'm like, good God, this is senior citizens on this drug bust. So old folks doesn't mean you're old, mean you're sanctified, amen? All right, we got to tighten up, all right? But at any rate, I didn't know that person, and neither did the guy. We didn't know him. Sure, yeah, let's go. We're going to a party. All right, cool. You riding? All right, you driving? Some. That girl pulled out of that parking lot in Murfreesboro, spin them wheels, cranked that music up loud, and then just started, I mean, floored it out of there. Went on this back road, and I'm saying, and then the guy with me is like, slow down. I said, slow down, you blankety blank blank. I wasn't saved. So my language, I was cussing and everything. I said, slow this thing down. But that girl, she was cranking. It fishtailed, then the car, bam. It hit the side of a ditch. And then I remember spinning around in it. And then I remember it being upside down and just all kind of getting knocked around. I didn't have my seatbelt on. And I felt something smack hit me in the back of my neck. And I got up. Next thing you know, I snapped. I was unconscious. And during that time, I flashed back to when my father told me. He said, before I went to school, he said, Billy, be careful who you get in a vehicle with if you don't know him. He said, I was in an accident. Got thrown from the vehicle. He said, I just scratched up my backside, but I could have gotten killed. Be careful. I saw that vision. Well, I was unconscious. And then I opened up my eyes, and I was like getting up off the road, and the car was flipped over like where Rico's piano is, you know. And I was like, man, what happened? I have stitches on the back of my neck, side of my leg, you know. And I was, man, we got thrown out of the car. And grace, I didn't deserve it. That's that reckless love, brother. It chases me. Fights till I'm found, leaves the 99. I wasn't trying to serve God. I was living for the devil. But he loved me so much, he chased after me. And it was grace. There was grace. So, yeah, we went to the hospital. No, God's grace was there, you know, and had to get stitched up and different things like that. And, you know, so thankfully there was no serious injuries out of it, even though the car had flipped over and me and the guy with me got thrown through the windshield. So then we had to find the body shop where the car was, and I wasn't saved then, all right? So we had to find the car for the insurance to pay for the hospital bill or whatever. So I went to this body shop. I got to that body shop, and I was, if you can believe it, I was like a loud mouth. I was a little guy. I was cocky and everything. So I went to the body shop, and guys were there, workers, and I said, we were out partying that night, and I was just bragging in my sin, foolishness. But then in the midst of it, though, I said, but, you know, I thank the Lord. God, I thank God. He was watching me. As soon as I said, I thank God, a man probably around where that door is was working on a car. He popped up. He wasn't engaging in the conversation that I was engaging in because I was using profanity and talking sin and everything. He said, young man. I said, this was a big guy. He kind of looked like old boxer Ernie Shavers or kind of like Rick Ross. He said, I hear you talk about, you said God, you know, God was watching you. He said, if you would have died, where would you have spent eternity? All right, now all of a sudden, beat of sweat, I'd go to heaven. Why? Well, I'm a good person. He said, there'll be a lot of good people that say they're good. He said, Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says, our righteousness, goodness is filthy rags. He said, you can't get to heaven by just being what you're calling good. I said, look, man, I said, I said, I go to church sometimes. I now know those were all wrong answers I was getting. He said, look, there'll be people that go to church that are in hell. He said, you don't just get to heaven just because you went to church a few times. I said, well, I pray. He said, just because you pray, that doesn't mean that you're getting into heaven. He said, do you want to know how you can know that you'll go to heaven when you die? He said, if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, he died on that cross for your sins. He said, Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And I was shook. This guy preaching to me and all. He said, do you want to pray right now, young man? I said, look, I can pray in the church. He said, are you ashamed to pray? I said, no. He said, well, bow your head. So I bowed my head, prayed or whatever. And then I was like, I got to get out of here. So I was like, okay. So he said his prayer or whatever. And I said, all right, we'll talk to you later. Boom. I was ready to run from that place, from this guy. All right. And the man told me, he said, young man, he said, you're going to go back and do that same stuff again. He said, but I'm praying for you. I never gave him my name. I never got his name. I just knew that guy was a fanatic, and I had to get out of there. We got in the car. I told the dude, I said, that man was a holy roller. He's pushing his beliefs on me like that. Who does he think he is? I literally, Pastor Mike, Pastor Noli, I was more shook up by that meeting with the guy than the accident. That word rattled me. See, this word has got power in it. And I couldn't get it out of my mind what the man said. And then through other series of events that happened, I ended up not going back to Chuan. I went to ODU school there. And then later on when I was at ODU, I got saved in Norfolk. So I got saved at Old Dominion University College. And then it was in that Bible study where I met my beautiful wife. And God moved, and then shortly thereafter, God called me to preach. And then I was preaching all over the place, God opening up doors, doing things like that. But it always was in the back of my mind, you know, that man loved me enough to share the gospel. He could have just stayed and went about his business, but he loved me enough to share Jesus Christ. So then we got married. Stacy and I got married. Had kids, they were little, and then God had us move to Gates County. And I told her, I said, man, I wonder about that guy. I wonder if he's still living. I don't know where the body shop is. So I called home, I called my mother. And I love my mother, but she don't throw away anything. I said, Mom, do you have that police report? I knew she would have it, and she had it. So I was glad she didn't throw away everything. She said, because it has the body shop address on. I want to see. I don't even know if this body shop's even open. These things come and go, businesses. So I saw it was on there. So Stacy and I hopped in the minivan, put the kids in there. They were real little at the time. I said, I'm going to see if this man, if I can find him. I don't even know if he's still living. I don't know if he works there or what. So I saw it. I pulled up. I said, that's the body shop right there. I said, that's it. So I took the police report in my hand, and there was a man working on a car. He was bending down on his knee, looking like fixing a tire or brake or something. He had a straw hat on. I said, excuse me, sir. I said, this may sound kind of odd. I said, strange. I said, but a few years back, I was in a real bad accident. I said, and the car was here, and the man told me, there was a man, I didn't get his name. We didn't exchange names, information. I said, but he told me about Jesus. And I said, I don't know who he was. I just said, oh, I know he was an African-American man with a bald head and a beard. And he said, really? I said, yeah. I said, I just wanted to thank him, but I don't know if he still works here or not or anything. And that guy got up, took off his hat. He said, that was me. He said, bald head, beard. He said, that was me. And I had a chance to give him a bear hug. And I thanked him for sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell you, you want to know the answer for racial reconciliation. You saw it right there. That African-American male could have said, here's this young, cocky, white kid. But no, he saw a soul. Not only did he see a person, a soul that needed Jesus. And I gave him a hug. He said, that was me. I said, oh, man, you know, and gave him a bear hug. I said, look, man, I was so mad when I left here. I was so mad. I said, but man, I said, I was like, this guy's a holy roller. I said, I got saved. And I said, and God changed my life. He changed my life. And now folks say, I'm a holy roller. And he said, those are your kids? Who's in the car? He said, bring them on out. So they met him. I preached at his, and ended up preaching at his church many times. Brother Johnny Hendricks, he's going on home to be with the Lord. But the last words he said, I'm praying for you. All stand and let's give God a hand clap of praise. It's not over until God says that it's over. I said, you prayed for me. You didn't realize you were praying for somebody that not only that God saved, called to preach, called to minister, and thank you. Thank you for loving me enough to share that truth. Glory to God. Give God a hand clap of praise. So I want to ask you the question now. I'd like for all the ministers to come as we, if the ministers would come forth. Amen. You may be here today. And you may be like, wow, that's something. Let me ask you, like Brother Hendricks asked me, if you died today, where would you spend eternity? I want you to know, I got the answer for you right now. The Bible tells you, the Bible says that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why you never have to teach a baby to be bad. You have to teach them to be good, I'm sorry. You have to teach them to be good because they're born. We're all born with that nature in us. All right? We're born with that sin nature, all of us. That's why Jesus came and he loved us enough, died on that cross, that we could receive Christ as our Lord and Savior. So with every head bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today, you can be saved simply by saying a prayer like this. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I confess that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I believe that you are the Son of God. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Save me now in Jesus' name. If that's you, come, you can come lift up your hand. Amen. Somebody can pray with you up front. Amen. Amen. I see your hand. I see your hand. Is there another hand? Is there another today? Amen. 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 As the Spirit of God is moving, I want to open up the altar, not just for the individual that raised their hand, but also you may need prayer. You may say, look, there's some stuff I want to get in position for this year. The altar is open right now as the Spirit of God is moving. Hallelujah. As the Spirit of God is moving, the altar is open. You may say, man, this is the year. I got to get it done. I got to position myself. I'm going to do this thing. Amen. As the worship team sings. Hallelujah. The Spirit of God is moving here. The Spirit is moving. The altar's open. The Spirit of God is here. Don't put it off. Whatever your situation may be, come forth the altar right now. The Spirit of God is moving in this place.